Now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, we go on a $12 million shopping spree with Governor-General Bill Hayden. We've got handy hints on what to do if you're buried alive. Take something to read, that's my advice. We preview an outrageous and steamy new film that makes showgirls look like bananas in pyjamas. And with the name Luciano Pavarotti already revealed, we've got Radio Gladiators, Galaxy of Stars, and joining us live, the glamorous star of the new James Bond flick, Isabella Scorupco. It's all coming up on the program that Nation of Islam leader Big Lou Farrakhan describes as Farrakhan hopeless, Martin Malloy.
Most of our program was locked in this computer yesterday. That's why we couldn't do the show. And what I love is that we had some of the finest computer minds in the country bent over this computer, basically trying to retrieve a series of fart jokes. And I think that's, well, it's good to see.
They flew someone out from America.
They did. Now, who else is, I'll tell you who's been taking my fancy is Bill Hayden. What's he up to? There's some trouble?
Oh, Tone. Bill Hayden has sent in his tab for the last financial year. And Tone, whatever guess at the title. Could you? No. Well, let me tell you, it's $12 million.
On you, Bill.
Oh, yes, he's done it. He's scooped Australia's richest prize pool. And here to tell us exactly what he's won is Pete Smith.
Thanks, Mick. This year's Governor-General walks away with prizes totalling $12 million, including new cars, an overseas trip to Gallipoli valued at $500,000, and exclusive renovations to his rent-free home, and a brand new Thighmaster, all courtesy of our very good friend, the Australian taxpayer. Will Bill leave with this embarrassment of riches, or come back to stick his snout in the trough again next year? Here's some thinking music.
But it's a lot of money, isn't it? $12 million.
What's he been doing? Catching cabs?
Over tipping? He's been getting cable connected, hasn't he?
I think he
That's
has.
What he's been up to. Well, I get the feeling that since becoming Governor General, he's just been running around the place like one of those competition winners who scarpers around the supermarket stuffing as much gear in the trolley as they can before their time's up. That's how our Governor General spent the year, folks. Is that what you do to become Governor General? Win a radio competition? Is that what it's like? You can either fly to LA with Paula Abdul for the opening of the new Planet Hollywood, win your height and CDs, or be GG for the year. Governor General, you know, I don't know what he's thinking. I'm thinking $12 million, scarping around the world in your own private airliner, which is what he did, and I'm thinking we've got a Governor General who fancies himself as a bit of an Elvis Presley figure.
You think so?
He's thinking, serving the Queen, bugger that, I'm the King. That's what he thinks. Bill's been sitting at home in the cape and jumpsuit, realised he's out of bacon, shot the telly and flown to Memphis for half a dozen of his favourite chili burgers. Quick, get rid of him now before he buys his mum another bloody Cadillac.
Ooh, the nerve of that wasp.
Still haven't found what they're looking for here on Martin Malloy, the program that's all better.
Now, Mick, there was a great story in the papers yesterday that I'd like to just have a look at. Listen to this. A new coffin for people who fear being buried alive has gone on sale in Italy. For $6,000, Tuscany watchmaker Fabrizio Caselli will knock you up a coffin with a beeper, a two-way microphone speaker, a torch, a mobile phone, a small oxygen tank, a sensor to detect heartbeat, and even a heart stimulator, which I understand is just a magic eye picture of the cast of Baywatch, but hey, you know, for $6,000, what do you expect? But let me get this right. You're buried alive. How does that happen? What, you sleep through your alarm for about 3 weeks?
Yeah.
People start to get a bit worried. I don't know. He was watching one of those Peter Greenaway films. He nodded off and we haven't been able to wake him since. It seems to me that before they take to the lid of the coffin with a nail gun, there'd be a few checks and procedures.
Excuse me! You're quite sure you're dead?
That'd be one.
Yeah.
I think so.
Right there.
And pardon me, I don't mean to upset anybody, but before they install you in the coffin, don't they take your brain out? I think they do. Mm. I think, and for me, that'd be the time to sing out. To just put the hand up. Hey, excuse me. Hello. Haven't quite finished with that. Haven't filled out my Logies form. Oh, actually, take it. I don't think I'll be needing it. But okay, let's assume it is possible to be buried alive. And you're down there with all this equipment. Mm. Oxygen tank, torch. There's no mention of food. Oh, you've got a mobile phone. I suppose you could just call for a pizza. Hello, Pizza Hut. Your ad says free delivery almost anywhere within 30 minutes. I hope you've got a jackhammer. But actually, that'd be a great opportunity to mount a few prank calls, wouldn't it, really? Hello, Radio Gladiators. I've got a made a dick of myself story. Oh, and a brush with fame. I'm just three up from Ben Chifley. Of course, there's a way to alert people to the fact that they've planted you a tad early. Check the mobile phone bill. If there's any calls after the date on the tombstone, it's time to get the spade. Oh, look! Look, he's made 75 calls to that 0055 party line. The dirty, dead bastard. What else do they give you? A Game Boy, I would have thought, would have been handy. But no, you've got a two-way microphone speaker. How does that work?
Excuse me. Yes, you with the flowers. Bit of an odd request. Down here. No, warm up.
So yeah. Let's say it's a worthwhile investment. Mm-hmm. They dig you out. You're forever going to be known as the bloke who was buried alive, aren't you? Mm-hmm. G'day, Dave. Haven't seen you since your funeral. Sorry to hear that didn't work out. Yeah, I wasn't ready for it, I'm afraid. Still, better luck next time. And it'd be a tricky one to tell people about, wouldn't it, at parties? You know, Dave, you've been keeping to yourself a bit lately. Yeah, I've been taking a bit of a vacation. Really? Whereabouts? South.
Welcome to Las Vegas, to a world of seduction, a world of fantasy, a world where two exotic dancers share a dream to make it to the top.
Come on, Mick, we're due on stage in 2 minutes.
No way, Tone. I'm sick of these cheap dives. I've got an audition at the Stardust.
Oh, dream about it, Mick. Your future's here
at Club Bumcrack. You two, you're on. Malloy, hitch those jeans down at the back. The ladies want to see a good 4 inches.
Don't you understand? I'm not a stripper. I'm a dancer, damn it.
This is the erotically charged world of show blokes. Leave your inhibitions at the door.
Mr. Acid Wash, let's see what you're made of. Make like you're fixing a fridge.
Come on, Toad, we're better than this. Do you want to spend the rest of your life giving crack dances to strange women?
Well, yeah.
I want more than just a bear hug from a pissed Kerri-Anne Kennelly and a crack full of $5 notes. I'm pulling my pants up once and for all.
You'll be back.
Hey, Four Eyes, get your bony ass over to table 5. They're after something extra special.
Time to break out the tracky decks.
He's running away from a troubled past, but he has a dream, and no one's gonna get in his way.
Who's that?
He's the big cheese here at the Stardust. I wouldn't mess with him.
I'm Mr. Pete,
the star of the classiest floor show in Vegas, Cheeks Ahoy.
One and the same, and take a tip from me, buddy. There's only room for one Mr. Pete in this town. I'm an erotic dancer, not some low-rent pants man willing to shake the buns at any of those sleazy crack houses down on the strip.
Yeah? Well, watch your back, because they aren't the only pair of low-slung stretch denims in town.
The show is about to begin. Show Blokes, rated R.
Maybe we could retire to the back room.
Mm-hmm.
And I could watch you service the photocopier.
It's steaming up. We've got, in the next hour also, Isabella Scorupko's coming in, and she's from the new James Bond film GoldenEye, and she'll be coming in to just confirm that I've pronounced her name properly. And also Radio Gladiators is on the way. And, Mick, I must ask, have you heard about this woman? There's been a lot of stories about her, photos in the paper. Her name's, I think, Jeanne Calment, the French woman who is now officially the oldest human being on record. She's...
How old?
120. Doesn't look a day over 119.
No, she's kept her age very well.
I think that's the oldest joke on this show, too, by the way. In fact, she's 120 years and 238 days, which, by coincidence, is also the average waiting time for elective surgery in New South Wales.
Oh, good.
Or, for our listeners in Victoria, the average waiting time for an ambo. But she's broken the previous record, which I think was held by Bill Wyman, and you have to wonder where to now, because she's got the record. What does she do to top that? Well, we open the paper tomorrow to see a 120-year-old woman with 75 lit cigarettes crammed in her mouth about to go over Niagara Falls on a jet ski. But she's lived all her life in the French countryside, hasn't seen any nuclear tests in all that time,
really?
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
But as a teenager, she met Vincent van Gogh, and then exactly 100 years later, Barnsley. So, it just completes the circle, doesn't it? And she's now, sadly, blind, almost totally deaf, and as such, has just been offered a job as French ambassador to Australia.
This is Martin Beloy. Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today, it's one we haven't done this for quite some time. It's new characters for the program. I know we all already have a fantastic galaxy of characters on the show, like Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat, and are there any others?
Eric, the Norseman.
he's got much of an outing.
No, he'll be debuting shortly, hopefully.
So, really, what we're saying is we don't have many characters on the program. And now, the last time we did this, let's just run through some of the ones that you, the listeners, came up with. Firstly, there was Fritz the psychiatrist.
Lay down on the couch and tell me your fantasies about your parents.
Yeah, that one didn't really catch on.
No.
Then there was the enigmatic Little Miss Pretty.
Make the sunshine again, make the sunshine again. The sky's all down, make the sunshine again.
Yeah, that was just frankly irritating, that one. And I think the winner last time was Lightning, the uncoordinated carpenter.
Ouch! You put that finger there.
Yeah, on your Lightning.
And you see, Lightning never strikes twice. So it had a bit of a bit of a concept to it.
He won.
Now, what we want is we want the character's name, obviously, and his catchphrase. Mm. A catchphrase that's really going to take off. Mm. Like those Con the Fruiter things years ago. That sort of stuff. That's what we're looking for, the next con. Yeah. And Mick, have you got one? Have you got a character?
I've got a new character. It's Julie, the panicky receptionist. Yeah. But I don't really want to introduce you to her, Tone, because she's a bit of a... watch out. Look out. Here she comes now.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, but I've got a guy on the phone and he says he knows you. I wasn't going to put it through, but it could be important.
Okay, Julie.
Oh, no, you're not on air, are you? Now I've ruined it. I should have taken a message, got him to call back. Julie. I'm going to lose my job now.
Yeah.
I'll have no money. I'll be walking the streets relying on the kindness of strangers. What'll I do? What'll I do? No one likes me anymore. I better go now. So sorry if I've spoiled things. Ah, the door's stuck.
Julie.
The door's stuck. I can't get out. We're all going to die. Look. Do you hear me? Die.
Julie.
Quick, give me that chair. Run for your lives. Run for your lives.
And there she goes.
That's great, but it's a bit much to fit onto a T-shirt, I feel. We're looking for a shorter catchphrase.
All right. Just run for your lives, maybe.
Okay. Run for your lives. Now, we want you to call up, and we don't want you to call up for nothing, because it's a great prize. It's a Sony Ghetto Blaster. It's courtesy of 4 and 20 Pies. And, Mick, I have to ask, I've been looking at the papers today. $12 million.
Yep.
That's how much Bill Hayden squandered in the last year. How much of that was on pies?
It was all pie money. The word on the street is it was all pie money. Back at his place, he's got like a warehouse. And it's just chockers. There's guys driving around with forklifts, just chockers with pies. And he's going, he's directing them. He's like, you know when they land an aircraft? There's Bill up the other end with two table tennis bats, just directing them where to put the new pies.
So what you're saying is Yarra Lumla's just one big warmer.
Is that what it is?
It is.
Okay.
It's a disgraceful affair. At least he spent his money wisely. Yeah, you got to blow $12 million, you may as well put it in the pie direction.
Sound financial advice, Paul Clithero. Take note. If you've got a new character for the program, call now 1-800-657-657. It's Radio Gladiators. Yes, comedy characters. That's what we're looking for. Who's got them, Mickey?
We've got Robert on the line. G'day, Robert. How are you?
How you going, mate?
Not too bad. Now, your comedy character is?
It's got to be Terry of a Trendsetter.
And as Terry always says,
what's the G-O?
What's the G-O?
What's the G-O?
What's the G-O mean?
Well, if you look at it, you've got what's the go when you talk to someone saying what's the go? Instead of saying what's the go, you've got what's the G.O. It's very trendy.
You're right.
Yeah, frankly, that's just a little bit C-R-A-P
and should we give Terry the prize, perhaps? Maybe N-O.
I don't think so. Who's next? Lizzie. Lizzie, what's your character?
I'm policewoman Leslie.
Oh, yeah. Is that your character or yourself?
No, that's my character.
Oh, well done.
We've got to get the distinction right. And what does Leslie always say?
Against the wall, boys, and spread them.
I think I've met Leslie on occasion.
Gee, yeah, that's
lovely.
Yeah, is that you're not a policewoman yourself, are you, Lizzie?
Well, not all the time, no.
What are you in your spare time when you're not being a policewoman?
Just hang around.
Fair enough. When you're not on the job, you're hanging around.
And telling people to spread them.
Beautiful. Okay.
Fair enough. Very satisfying work. Have we got Nick on board? Nick, what's your character?
Look, I'm Tarquin the Sensible.
Oh, really?
And Tarquin has the role of really the Jeff Boycott of comedy, the joke vetter. And his catchphrase is... just a minute, boys. I'll have to pass that through the decorum monitor.
Oh, okay. I think that could work. Shall we put it to the test?
All right. We'll get into a bit of gear, and when it gets a bit much for you, Tarquin, you know, the sensible, you chip in and put a hold to proceedings.
Okay. Okay.
Fair enough.
So anyway, Tone, lunchbox not round the corner. Yeah. Who do you reckon's letting rip with the underpants gear today?
Oh, boys. Now, hold on. I think we've just... stepped out, so just pitched a bit of a full toss there. I'll just have to monitor that one. Think you've hit it over the fence, young fellas. I think we better come back onto the ground. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can see that character fitting in here.
Took Nick a while to get going, didn't it? Had a bit of a stutter up early.
But Nick, you know, there's not many sporting metaphors in radio. We tend to get this, guys, take a chill pill. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. So I don't know whether that character would fit in here at the station.
Nice try, though, Nick.
Yeah, have we got Camille? Camille, what's your character? Oh.
The nauseous baby.
And what's the nauseous baby's name again?
Netta.
Netta, the nauseous baby. And what's Netta's catchphrase?
Her name is, wah, 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 wah.
All right, so it's a double bunger kind of a deal. Hey, Gracie, can we do anything with Netta? Can you muster up a Netta? Have you got the There it is in censor round. Is that the kind of thing that Netta says?
Yeah, would you like an alias name?
Yeah.
It's the Pukester.
Oh, the Pukester.
Good honour. The Pukester.
And what kind of thing might set the Pukester off?
Oh, mouldy, anything. Carrots.
Yeah, maybe the new Meatloaf single. Would that be the kind
definitely.
Of
definitely. Okay.
This is your life with Mike Munro.
Anything. All right, let's have we got time for one more, Mick?
Yeah, let's go. Simon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Simon, thanks for joining us. Now the name of your character is
the man who never answers the phone.
Mildred the Turtle.
Oh, Mildred the Turtle.
Yeah.
Is he just an ordinary turtle?
Well, he's a claustrophobic turtle.
Oh, is he?
Okay.
And what is, bearing in mind he's got a few personal problems, what does Mildred usually say?
It's really small in here. I gotta get out!
It's really small in here. I've gotta get out. I think we have a winner!
Yes!
Which is my new catchphrase!
Yes, and Simon, you've won with Mildred, the claustrophobic turtle who always says...
I gotta get out of here.
I've got to get out of here. And that's what we say at 7 o'clock every evening.
Okay, and you've won the Ghetto Blaster.
Thank you.
And, of course, you also... Now, I don't know about this, because you wouldn't be up to driving age, would you, Simon?
No.
No, well, you're in the running for a Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. And what we'll do is, if you win, we'll put it in a trust fund.
Thank you.
And then when you're old enough, it'll be a very valuable antique.
Yeah, I think so.
it'll be something great from the 20th century.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. That's all we've got time for. Thanks to all our gladiators. Mm. And stick around, people, because after the news, we're going to be joined by the star of the new James Bond film, GoldenEye, Isabella Scorupko.
This is Martin Malloy.
I see some guys doing pretty good.
Cranberries, it's the second big hour of Martin Malloy, and our guest today, well, in Sweden, she's the biggest thing since ABBA, and now is the co-star of the new James Bond film GoldenEye. She's headed for international fame, fortune, and the chance to meet John Tesh in person. It's the glamorous and beguiling Isabella Scorupko. Isabella, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, is that it? Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me here,
of course.
Can you just tell us how to pronounce your name? There's been a lot of different versions floating around on the program this week. What is the correct version?
Skorupka.
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 How is that? Do I roll that properly?
Very good, actually, but it's just an O in the end. Skorupka.
Is that a very common name in, is it Poland?
Yes, it's Polish and it means shell.
What are some other popular names in Poland? Because that'd be like Smith here, wouldn't it?
Yes, but we have all those Tarkovsky, Stavlinsky.
No Malloys?
No Malloys. I don't know how that would translate into Poland.
What is that? Does that mean shell?
No, I think that means dork. I think that's how you translate that term.
That's a local term meaning... Mick Malloy.
There you go.
Now, GoldenEye, the big new James Bond film, is it finished yet? Is it still down the chemist's?
It's absolutely finished. I mean, we were finished in June, so the film should be just fit for fight right now. I think it's just 2 days left until people will be able to see it.
And you've had a look at it yourself?
I haven't seen anything more than just the trailer and the footage of the film.
How did you get involved?
I was just lucky being on a tape among Swedish actresses sent it away to the production, and I was at that time shooting a movie when I was playing a woman that lived her life as a man, and I looked kind of boyish, and I think they liked that independent, strong attitude, because they wanted Natalia to be very normal and just not care about how she looked.
So you're playing a Russian character?
Yes, a Russian computer programmer.
Now, how'd you go with the accent?
I love the accent. It's very strange, because as soon as you start to talk with the Russian accent, you become so much more powerful. And all we did, so in the end, everyone was, you know, when we were fighting, we talked with the Russian accent because we thought it was sounding more, you know, like danger.
Well, I think we'll start adopting Russian accents in some of the production meetings here at the station.
Exactly. Maybe people treat us with a bit more respect. And what is the golden eye?
The golden eye is... I shouldn't be the one explaining it, actually, because it's just too difficult. But it's a dish, and it has to do with satellites and the space weapons and everything.
High tech.
Very much so.
I understand the GoldenEye was the name of Ian Fleming's house or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Are they running out of names for the James Bond films? They've done the books and now they're onto his house. Will they be using his cat? Will that be the next one? James Bond in Tiddles. Is that what the next one's going to be? But do you feel any pressure playing a Russian Bond girl, if I can use that phrase, to follow in the footsteps of, say, Barbara Bach, who I think was a Russian... character in The Spy Who Loved Me?
Pressure in terms of what?
Well, she set the standard, you know, looking glamorous in the big, fur coat, people.
Well, I have to say, I'm a little bit... My biggest trauma problem was not being beautiful enough and not being as glamorous as I think men would like to see as Bond women.
Oh, dear.
So I just found my character... No, she's a little bit boring. She is, as Russian women looks. I mean, it's a little bit different than from what we're used to maybe see girls on the streets. And she's very untrendy.
All I can say is once the film comes out, just be ready for a phone call from Ringo Starr.
Do you really think so?
Oh, I think you're in.
Okay, now, can you stick around for one more break, Isabella?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll be back in just a moment with Isabella right here.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
And Isabella Skoropko is still with us on Martin Malloy. How is that for a pronunciation? I'm getting better at this.
That is fantastic.
Okay, now, James Bond, the new one, GoldenEye, Pierce Brosnan, what's he like? Is he up to it?
He's just fantastic. Yeah. James Bond and Pierce is the same person. I mean, Pierce is so James Bond. And I think they could absolutely not find anyone else that could do it better than he does.
And does he get to say the line, Bond? James Bond, does he get to do that? Does he say it to you by any chance?
Yes, he does, I think. Well, I don't know. I was so nervous, all those, you know, those lines made me nervous because then I realized I was in a James Bond movie, so I don't really know how he said it, actually. That's kind of a kind of...
And does he do shake and not stir? Are we going to hear all the great Bond catchphrases?
He does, but as I said, I'm not in the glamorous scenes. I'm not a casino girl, so I would never have a drink with James.
You're not in the glamorous scenes. Who is in the glamorous scenes if you're not?
There is a baddie in the film also, and that's the bad and glamorous character, but she dies in the end.
No, well, you've spoiled it now.
I didn't mind that, because I was quite jealous, I have to admit, on the high heels and on her designer clothes. I have like one Russian skirt through the whole firm, and I have to say, after 6 months in the same skirt, it was quite boring.
And no high heels?
No high
heels. So what are we talking? Ugg boots?
It kind of, yeah.
She knows what Ugg boots are. You're familiar with Ugg boots, Isabel?
That's a Swedish invention, isn't it?
Everyone should know that.
I think so. Now, do you get to do the opening titles of the film? You know, they always have a sort of a silhouette of a woman dancing about and throwing champagne glasses around. Are you in that sequence at all?
No.
No.
Hopefully not.
Okay. Not unless they were filming and didn't tell you about
poor audience, yeah.
Weren't you in one of those sequences, Nick?
Oh, I don't want to talk about
that. For Your Eyes Only, don't you dance through?
Okay, I'm bringing all that up. I'll take that behind me. I've been a Bond girl. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Okay. Now, what about weaponry? Do you get any, have you got a watch that fires darts? Have you got anything like that?
No, I don't have anything to do with the gadgets, but of course I have to know how to shoot and everything like that. But
and what about action scenes? Were you involved in any of the action scenes?
Yes, because it's an action movie, and especially my character.
It's also a very glamorous film, too.
Yes,
but you were not involved in any of that.
It is. Well, still, I mean,
just wondering what you're actually doing.
Just talking to James Bond, you feel kind of glamorous. Okay. So that was enough. But of course, a lot of very dangerous action
scenes.
And since
you did all your own stunts?
Of course. Mm. No, of course, you can't do them because it's too dangerous to do. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do them.
And what about the villain? Who's playing? Is it Robbie Coltrane, the Scottish comic actor? Is he playing one of the bad guys?
He plays one of the bad guys, but the worst guy is actually Sean Bean. It's a British actor.
Oh, yes, from Patriot Games.
Yeah.
Yes, and is he Blofeld? Does he have a little cat? Is he in a wheelchair? What's his gimmick? What's his angle?
That you have to see in the film. I think I'm starting to talk a little bit too much what the film is about, actually.
And it's not out till Christmas. I don't think
about November or something like that.
Yes, okay, well, we'll look forward to seeing it, and thanks for coming in and telling us what little you can of GoldenEye, Isabella.
Thank you very much for having me here. I'm spitting.
Thank you.
Okay, and we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy.
Somebody stop me!
Well, that's it for Martin Malloy for Thursday. And before we go, just a few things to take care of. Don't forget, a couple of programs on the ABC tonight at 8:30. There's The Making of Frontline. Mm. And if you're thinking of making your own TV show and you've got a home video camera, just tune in.
Yep.
Pick up a few pointers. And also the final episode of Something Hot Before Bed, the live comedy program on the ABC, goes out. It's supposed to start around 11:05, but it really starts whenever Kerry O'Brien decides to stop yammering on. Exactly. About whatever it is he talks about.
Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
And time for a quick cut, Snake.
Oh, good.
As you know, the mad people who write into the papers, I can't get enough of them, and listen to what this person has to say. So here we go again. Everyone up in arms trying to ban boxing because of one or two fatalities in the past few years. Maybe we should ban sex.
as there have been a lot more deaths from AIDS than boxing, writes Matt of Carrum Downs in Victoria.
You know, Tony, that guy there, you could punch him 5 times, hard as you like, in the head, then you could smack him on top of the head with, you know, a hammer or something. And you still probably wouldn't do any more brain damage that which currently exists. And maybe, you know what I mean? Let's get him in the ring because, you know, he's as far gone as you can get.
And maybe if sex had been banned about 100 years ago, we wouldn't be reading this letter now.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
And speaking of, well, 100, 120 years ago, we must just send a cheerio and a happy birthday out to Jean Calmette, the French woman who's turned 120. Years old.
And doing it easy.
Yeah, and a former Bond girl. Is that what you said, Gracie?
Apparently. That's a lot of cakes. You couldn't light that cake on a day of total fire ban, could you? There'd be trucks coming from everywhere.
Yeah, there would indeed. And you know what I admire her? But there's one thing I don't like about her. Apparently she fakes her age. You know, but she says she's 117, and I don't like people like that.
Yeah, it's just ego.
And you can tell she's 120. Yeah. She doesn't look 117. She's not fooling anybody.
Get on with it.
But hey, isn't that our new catchphrase on the show?
Time to go, thanks to our guest Isabella Skoropko and all our highly creative gladiators. Also special thanks to Pete Smith for going a couple of extra yards for us today. Tomorrow we'll be joined by the matriarch of the family, Brady, Florence Henderson. And before we go, Mick.
Yes, well, $12 million to the Governor-General and, well, to tell us exactly what he did with that money and what he won, here's Pete Smith.
Thanks, Mick. This year's Governor-General walks away with prizes totalling $12 million, including new cars, an overseas trip to Gallipoli valued at $500,000, and exclusive renovations to his rent-free home, and a brand new Thighmaster, all courtesy of our very good friend, the Australian taxpayer. Will Bill leave with this embarrassment of riches, or come back to stick his snout in the trough again next year? Here's some thinking music. Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.